Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 781 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. I'm here with Pete.
Hello.
So Danny is not here again. You got to hear him. He had a great episode during the middle of the week last week, just talking about game development and everything. He was up there in New York City. It's a Dominican Film Festival. Is that what it's called? I don't want to misquote
it. That's correct.
I believe that's what yes. Dominican Film Festival. And Gamertag Radio podcast story was screened there. Great turnout, whole thing. So congrats to Danny. We should all be back at some point next week on the podcast. So looking forward to that as well. Just up front, let everyone know we don't have a lot to talk about on this week's episode. So we're going to kind of backtrack on a few things that we may have missed the last couple weeks and go from there. But before we do that, Danny, let everyone know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Also, if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Google Play. Obviously, you can find us on Audio Boom. That's our home. Basically, your favorite RSS feed program, however you want to use it, Gamertag Radio is going to be there. So please subscribe and listen today. And we thank you for your support. So, Pete, I want to go back. Has it been 2 weeks, week and a half? I forget how long this has been now, but this kind of happened in the middle of us recording, so we didn't really address it directly, but it came out from Paul Thurrott over Windows Central, all those guys over there, talking about it's been, I don't even want to say leaked, but they're just talking about rumors of the next Xbox console, what it's going to be. And it sounds like we're going to get two flavors of it. We're going to get what's called Project Scarlet, which will be the traditional new piece of hardware. Who knows? I'm sure the specs on it, it's just going to be a monster beast type thing. But then the second part is we're going to get a lower cost piece of hardware, which is going to be streaming only, cloud gaming only. And Microsoft feels that they have, quote unquote, cracked the code for game latency using this streaming only device. Personally, I'll believe it when I see it, but what we got to read and just saying how they're going to locally keep some of the stuff on that hardware. So it won't just be a dumb box, kind of like the Stream Link is right now. It will be some hardware that will be doing some processing locally, but they're going to do some of the game processing is going to happen locally, but basically everything else will happen up in the cloud. And what you see on your screen will be virtually the same as if you just had the traditional console sitting on your television set. I'm very intrigued by it because I like having the option of it. And obviously Microsoft has been talking recently about that cloud gaming is something that is going to happen. It is in their future. EA has started to talk about it as well. We obviously know PlayStation is already doing it with PlayStation Now. But if Microsoft, let's just say 2020 is the year, by 2020 is able to present these two options, and there is basically a low-cost piece of hardware that you couple with something like Game Pass, and you're now able to play all your high-end AAA games, you know, on this low piece of low-cost hardware, but now Microsoft has you, quote-unquote, locked into their streaming service, because, look, we know there's going to be a cost with this. They're not just going to give away cloud gaming to you. There's going to be some type of cost associated with it, but it's reasonable. Look, I'm not saying that it would be my full-time way to play games, but I can see it being a supplement to how I would play games. I would still want to get whatever Scarlet's going to be, you know, have that as my main, quote-unquote, Xbox way, gaming way to play, but I could see me having the secondary cloud streaming on my other television out where the kids play or something. And maybe I'm not doing multiplayer games on it, but maybe I'm playing Fable on it as an example. Maybe I'm running through the campaign for the next Halo on it, Gears, whatever the case may be, you know, single player type experiences with maybe some light, you know, co-op multiplayer things. But I would still want to have the traditional piece of hardware for my normal PvP multiplayer type stuff. I long-winded, I know, but your thoughts on that?
I'm surprised to hear you say that you'd be tempted to pick that up simply because you already have multiple devices. You already have the Xbox One that you picked up on the cheap just a couple of months ago. So I'm kindly surprised that you would pick up the Scarlet Light, right? The full stream option versus going with the full tilt box. I know with the full tilt box, you already have a competitor in your PC. So there's no real true need to get it. Plus, you already have one. But hearing that you would grab the Scarlet Light is a surprise. I truly hope, and if we start to go down the technical, you know, deep well, and we start going too deep, pull me up, you know, tug on the airline for a second. Until they can get past the CPU bottleneck, that was the AMD Jaguar that they were using, they're going to continue to have technical challenges, I'd probably say is the best way to phrase it. Something that you've seen, especially with games like PUBG, it's still not getting the treatment like it should be. And it's basically what's been holding it back. I want to see something akin to an i7, you know, whether it's a full-blown i7 7700 or higher. Because
it'd be a Ryzen variant. I believe.
I'm just saying something in comparison with it, right? I don't have an AMD chip, so I really can't talk a lot about it. You know, I'm more familiar with the Intel these days. I know I played with AMD two generations ago. Now I'm fully Intel now. I like where it's going, though. I like that Microsoft has accepted the responsibility of what it did and what it tried to do with the Xbox One and the Xbox One X. I know that's something that us on the show have always said is more of a stopgap measure. It wasn't a full-blown next-gen box when they went with the Xbox One X. And then, and I believe it was your phrase that said Xbox One X is what the Xbox One should have been when it first launched. They should have given it the 3-year, you know, the 3-year baking period and come up with all new hardware. May have probably, you know, served Microsoft better in that regards from a hardware perspective. But I love that Phil and the boys and girls at Microsoft have embraced the streaming option. Finally, you know, they, and hopefully they have broken the code. I mean, I think maybe technology is to the point now that a full streaming service such as this can work. I think Xbox Game Pass is a great thing. I'm curious if it'll be bundled there within the actual Xbox Scarlet device, this full streaming, you know, do you buy this? And is it maybe a monthly subscription to get the hardware? How would that work, right? Because if it's a full gaming streaming, if it's a full game streaming device, does it come with Xbox Game Pass built in? Do you buy low at like $150, $200 and then just do the $10? Or is it going to be a $300 to $400 piece of hardware?
Well, I think that's going to be the interesting thing, that when this becomes a reality of how they're going to handle the cost of this. Because what if I don't want Game Pass? What if I just want to buy my games and, quote unquote, and I'm doing air quotes, own them, you know, as a digital game? So instead of me having the monthly subscription service for Xbox games, you know, and there's going to be third party games, all this, etc., Xbox is going to have this as a part of the streaming service as well. So in that sense, there has to be a la carte option for being able to just cloud stream the games. And like I said, because it's NVIDIA is doing right now, this is what I say I'm intrigued by it, because right now on the NVIDIA Shield, I can pull up all my Uplay games, I could pull up my Blizzard games, I can pull up my Steam games, and I can play them through NVIDIA streaming service with an Xbox controller on my big screen TV, and it mostly works. And this is why I'm thinking, here we are in 2018, and for just some single player stuff, it feels good enough. I mean, I still can detect some of the latency in it, but I get where it's going. And there is a cost, and I don't know the exact cost because NVIDIA is kind of beta testing right now, but NVIDIA is going to charge you for this. So that's going to set a baseline. We obviously already have the price for what PlayStation Now is. So Microsoft is going to have to come in with something where whatever this piece of hardware is, I think at max, it can't cost any more than $150. I really think the $99.99 price is probably ideal to get mass adoption for it. Then obviously you're going to have your Game Pass subscription. You're going to have Xbox Live Gold. You're going to have whatever it costs to stream these digital games that you have. So they're probably going to have some different tiers of being able to bundle some of this stuff in, because, you know, we've joked before, and I know Danny always has his crazy schemes of Xbox Live Gold is going to be free and all this stuff. But I think they're going to have a tier that includes Gold, that includes Game Pass, and includes the price of the cloud streaming, and bundle it together to make it attractive. And then you're going to have to still have them as separate options as well, because not everyone's going to want to do it, obviously. Most hardcore people are still going to want to have their traditional hardware under their television. They're going to want to do it the traditional way. You're still going to have people like ourselves that are going to have high-end PCs that, now that we have Xbox Play Anywhere, will probably want to play their Xbox games that way. You know, I see the cloud streaming thing as a supplement. I don't see it as a primary thing, because another thing they're going to have to do is, when this becomes a reality, let's just say holiday 2020, all this is a reality, they have to have their marketing and messaging crystal clear on what this thing is. You cannot have my wife go to Best Buy and buy this for Trey and buy it for $150. What the hell do you mean I got to have this connected to the internet all the time, use up all my bandwidth? They have to explain that this is a cloud streaming thing. This isn't something where you download the game onto the hardware. You know what I'm saying? So, and that if you want that, you got to spend $500 or whatever the case may be. Right. So they have to be really crystal clear on that. And speaking of whatever Scarlett's going to be the hardware, I've been catching it on Twitter as usual, because I dared ask the question. I didn't say this was happening. I asked the question. If we're going to go to a next generation of hardware, because like you just mentioned with the whole CPU thing, that is the bottleneck right now.
Yep.
That's why on Xbox One X, as an example, or PS4 Pro, you can't hit 60 frames per second on a lot of these games, because the CPU is the bottleneck. So Phil Spencer, during E3, when he's on the Giant Bomb podcast, mentioned this himself, that they're aware they have to up the CPU, upping the frames per second is a priority for him going into the next generation of gaming. So going by what he said, it seems to me, and I've said it in the past, if we're going to go to a next gen of hardware, it just makes sense. We're already doing 4K. What's the next leap? What's the next thing that we're going to do that is going to the average consumer, make it seem worth it to want to go pick up the hardware? It's got to be frames per second. We got to hit 4K 60. In my opinion, just my opinion. I understand developers can stay at 30 and use the power in different ways for, you know, bigger worlds, more fidelity, all that stuff. I get that. But I'm saying, as a standard, it would be nice if Phil Spencer got up on stage in 2020 and said that all Xbox first party games will be 4K at 60 frames per second. But if there is an artistic choice, if a third party, they want to do something else and they don't want to hit 60, that's their choice. But we're letting you know that our hardware is capable of playing our AAA games at their fullest fidelity at 4K and 60 frames per second. To me, that would be the next logical leap into next gen gaming. You know, on the console side, we already know PC can do all this stuff. But if you want to get to where PC gaming is today, 2 years from now, got to up the CPU. We know GPU wise, they'll probably be on par with something like a 1080 right now, or maybe even a 1080 Ti. So I'm not too worried about that. But they got to up the CPU, like you were saying previously, Pete, and hit those marketing checkboxes of what the next gen game is going to look like. Wouldn't it be nice if Cyberpunk came out in 2020 and there was that option on a console to be able to play it at 60 frames per second?
Right.
I know I would want it. as an example. Not saying they have to do it, but it'd be nice to know that they could if they wanted to. But maybe the developer comes in, you know, CD Projekt Red, and says, we stayed at 30 because we wanted the more cinematic feel for it, and it allowed us to use that power in different ways. But if we wanted to, quote unquote, flip the switch, we could do it. But now we can't do it in true 4K. Maybe we're doing checkerboard rendering to get it in 4K, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of conversations I want to hear a couple years from now when it comes to next gen gaming. And just what started all this with the cloud streaming, while I don't think it would be perfect, I would like to see over the next couple years, Xbox start to demo this off. Show how the technology works, why they feel they've cracked the code versus what we've seen already from things like On Live and PlayStation Now, etc., and why they think it can be viable into the future, and why they could be able to plug this in to your iPhone 25 or whatever the hell is going to be called then, or, you know, the Surface, and just all these other devices, so we can start taking, like, what if, again, this is where I don't think they'll do it, because I don't think Nintendo would allow it, but what if I'm doing a Danny?
What if
you could stream Xbox cloud games on your Switch? As an example, not saying it's going to happen, but that's the example of being able to take pieces of hardware like that, that does have some processing power under the hood, and be able to do the cloud stream in that way as well, along with their device that they're going to sell you to put on your television as well. So just my thoughts.
God damn, I was waiting for the soapbox to crumble under all that weight. I think before we see that, it's going to be a while, simply because I just don't know if the US has the infrastructure to support that. You know,
well, that's the major problem. I mean, look, if we go to Korea or Europe or somewhere like that, this isn't an issue. This is a United States issue.
Right. And so that. I get it. Xbox and all consoles should be region agnostic. But until our infrastructure here in the States is at a place where it can be supportive of a fully online experience, there's going to be issues, and I'm curious if that'll give you a low bandwidth option within the hardware that says, okay, only download at night, or make that a streamable option. You know, like maybe make the games have that option. Each one, you know, do you want to download it or do you want to stream it? And I think that might make life a little bit easier for the consumer itself. Because, like, I know, you know, here on the Twitch chat, I'm breaking the fourth wall here, and, like, here locally, I know I don't have the issue with regards to bandwidth, but with, you know, download max caps set at 1 terabyte, that's, you're basically, it's basically 2013 again, where people are complaining that, you know, Xbox One's coming out with a 500 gig hard drive.
Well, I think, like, as you're saying this, I think I could see an option where the stream, again, like, I view the streaming as a supplement, not as a primary, where I do buy Xbox Scarlett and I have the $500 machine and I just got the new Halo and I need to download it. But while it's downloading, I actually can start playing the game because I can stream it. You know what I'm saying? I could see an option where something like that could happen. So it allows you to at least start your game in the cloud, streaming it. And then by the time it's ready to download and you have the whole game locally, it'll be able to switch over to do something like that. But like you said, infrastructure wise, at least in the United States, we are not ready at all. And then, you know, little Johnny out there in Nebraska somewhere, they don't have the bandwidth to do this. So this is why it'll, to me, in my opinion, it'll never be a primary thing. It will be a supplemental thing regardless, because we, being the United States, aren't ready for it. You know, if you go to different countries in South America, Asia, etc., Africa, they're not going to be able to support this anytime soon either. So I see it more as just something to say that if you're a hardcore gamer and you want to be able to play games wherever you are, if you have the bandwidth to support it, you can do it. But we're not ready yet, not in the next, God, we're talking 2 years from now. We're not ready in the next 2 years to just do cloud gaming as a standard. I could see maybe 10 years from now, 15 years from now, maybe. Because then infrastructures improve, bandwidth, the technology improves, takes latency down to virtually nothing, then yeah, maybe that's reality. I just think Microsoft is flexing their muscles that we are Microsoft, we are some of the smartest people on the planet, and we feel like we figured this out. Not to mention Phil Spencer is one of the top people in the country. It was funny, I was having this conversation offline with a friend of ours. You have to think in the Microsoft rankings right now, Phil Spencer's got to be in the top 10, right? It's got to be.
Yeah.
As far as importance in the company. Yeah. So he's pushing these initiatives, and the only person he needs to sign off on them is Satya Nadella.
Yep.
So in that sense, I do think we're going to see the next few years, be it the Scarlet streaming, whatever, we're going to see something revolutionary come gaming-wise. I'm assuming at this point it's going to be Microsoft, but we'll see who it comes from, right? Because we just see that Microsoft, they have the war chest, they're able to fund these things, and it's an exciting time see where we go in this. And I just, like I said, I'm not 100% convinced on the cloud streaming, but I at least like to see it in action and to see how that's going to work moving forward. Now, before we move on, I want to bring one other thing with Microsoft, and that was they put out a GIF, whatever you want to call it, but the unboxing of the Xbox Adaptive Controller. And, I know I tweeted about it. I saw you commenting on it as well. But I'm just very happy with it. I don't have anyone personally in my life that is disabled that would take advantage of this. But being able to see it at E3 and talking to one of the Xbox guys, and he kind of demoed me through it. And we were just talking about the importance of it and why this is special. It is going to allow people that currently cannot play video games due to a disability, the option now. And it's so customizable, and it is looking at so many different ways that people are disabled, and it tries to cater to everyone in that sense. I think it's a fantastic piece of hardware. I really do. And I'm, like I said, I was so very happy to see it at E3, and then just to see that even the unboxing is catered towards people with disabilities to make it as easy as possible to get this thing open and to be able to use it. I just think it's a fantastic piece of hardware. Glad to see Microsoft doing this. I know you have some thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to try to make it through this segment without busting out in tears, and I'm already getting welled up now. My nephew is special. He's a special needs kid. And seeing this was, seeing it firsthand with Solomon at the Microsoft booth at E3 was something special. Seeing the opportunity that I would finally have to play video games with my nephew was huge. And then, like you said, seeing that Microsoft even went so far as to make sure that the packaging with which the adaptive controller comes in is tuned and caters to someone who may not have full ambulatory use of all of their appendages, it's fantastic. And it's not going to happen. I'm not going to make it through this part without tears coming down my face. So apologies. But yeah, shout out to everybody there at Microsoft, Able Gamers, cause I know they had a hand in the discussion. It's fantastic. And we're one step closer to that dream coming true.
No, we absolutely are. We really are. And like I said, I knew this obviously really, touched close to home for you. And like I said, it is a great thing. Look, take all the nonsense that we deal with social media and the console wars and all this BS that goes on. Break it down to its core. This is good for gaming. This is just good for people, right? Because just because you're disabled, you're a person too. You want to do all the things that everyone else does. And just because you have a disability should not hold you back from being able to participate in all these things. And like I said, I don't have anyone close to me that is currently disabled, but I've known enough people in the past that are. And when I went, just as an example, when I went to the Destiny 2 reveal event last May, and I got to hang out with all the guys from the Stack Up that were there. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, disabled gamers, military background, the whole thing. But the point was, I was just hanging out with those guys and it was so cool. It wasn't about, oh, they're disabled. It was just, these are a bunch of cool freaking guys, right? And we had a great time. We were taking pictures, the whole thing. And it was just a fun time. And just to know that some of those guys now have that option with that adaptive controller, maybe it makes their life easier when it comes to gaming. And I just know it's going to affect so many people. So again, I just think it was a very awesome thing. And I'm really looking forward to this thing coming out and the fact that it's going to be reasonably priced. They've not officially said the price yet, have they?
150?
I don't think they have.
150? I think it might even be lower than that.
I just know they said, look, we're pricing this. This was at E3. They're going to price it so that they're not trying to make a profit off of this. They're just trying to.
$100.
I knew it was pretty cheap. So, and to me, trust me, when you see it in the real world and you get to hold it and understand what it is, $100 is nothing. They're not making a profit off of this thing at all. So kudos to Microsoft on that. Kudos to the Xbox team. Like I said, I'll be very excited to see when it comes out.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. And a word from our sponsor. I'd like to talk about Blue Chew. So guys, look, I'm an old man at this point. I'm 44. Like I said, I had to go to the eye doctor this week because I think I'm going blind. And sometimes you need a little help. Sometimes you need a little boost to get things going, if you know what I mean. So with Blue Chew, you can now increase your performance and get that extra confidence where it matters. Now listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis. And fellas, you know how it works. Let's keep going here. So now you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill. So now you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. So right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free and use our special promo code GTR. Go to BlueChew.com, use our promo code GTR, and just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code GTR to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I know we said this was going to be a short show, and I'm going to stick with that because, honestly, folks, this is summer. There's really not that much to talk about. So I want to transition and let's just take a break really quick, play some ads or something like that. And then when we come back, let's announce our final winner from Moot and that $50 Amazon gift card. All right. So as promised, let's give away the final $50 Amazon gift card via Moot. And it was really simple. You just had to go to moot.us, go to lounges, find Gamertag Radio, and you leave us a question there. And if we read that question on the air, you will win a $50 Amazon gift card. So congrats to the three previous winners. I know they've been getting the cards now and they're very happy with it. So that's a great thing. So here's our final winner. And this one is from Seti Dex Harmon. And he says, hey, Gamertag crew, first want to say thank you for the tremendous dedication you guys provide to make a top-notch podcast every week. Hey, we struggled today because I swear to God, ain't nothing to talk about. my question is, with gaming moving towards a digital marketplace and there being no shortage of physical copies available, does pre-orders have a future in gaming? We see games now advertising beta access as a way to keep pre-orders up, but I know people like myself and my friends generally just wait till day one, pick up a copy of a game, no pre-order necessary in most occasions. So does pre-ordering have a future in gaming? No, thank you for the SETI, and I'll start off answering this. It's funny. Yes and no. Yes, because just like you're saying, they're going to tie incentives into the pre-ordering to get you to do it. So it really comes down to an individual choice. Are those incentives enough for you as a consumer to want so that you'll throw down your $5 at GameStop or Amazon or wherever so that you can get those pre-order incentives? I say no, because personally, I'm getting old now. Matter of fact, I went to the optometrist earlier this week because I thought I was going blind to get my eyes checked. And it's like, no, you're not going blind. You stare at computer monitors too much. So stop staring at them so much. But the point is, I say no, because being 44, I don't care about the beta access thing. I don't care about the little figurines enough anymore that I pre-order games. I just don't. Kind of like you said, like Spider-Man as an example. As cool as some of the little things, the Spider-Man pre-order things look, I just, when it comes out, I just get it. You know, I'm not worried about pre-ordering, because like you said, it's digital now. Right. I don't worry about running out. I remember a point in time where I had ran out to pre-order a game because I was worried about not being able to get a copy on day one. Like they would sell out, like my local GameStop right. or something like that. So that's just my thought. What about you, Pete?
I'm in the same boat. Pre-ordering for me used to be more for a guarantee that I'd get to play it at 12:01 midnight or, you know, 12:15 when I got home, actually, because I had to wait in line for most of the times. And I'm glad that it's to the point now. I think the digital marketplace and the ability to download regardless of your platform, whether you're on an Xbox or PlayStation, hell, even the Switch, and obviously PC, champions of downloads, it's changed the way people do that. And I think one thing that, and I'm going to tangent off a little bit and, you know, and come back to SETI's comment here. It's strange that we're still paying full price for digital downloads when you're getting none of the extra packaging and fluff, right? You don't get the marketing, you don't get the green or blue box, you don't get the instruction manual, you don't get any, you know, posters or anything inside there. You're not paying for any of that, but you're still paying full price for the actual product. That skewing has always baffled me. But hey, I have bigger hard drives now. We've got externals on our devices now to support these things. Absolutely. Downloading is a thing. Pre-ordering on another thing. It's funny. I have this conversation probably once a week with my son. He hates pre-orders. You know, he thinks that pre-orders are a security blanket for gaming companies because they're not 100% confident that they're going to actually attain sales market numbers. And I understand why he says that, but he was the first person that went out and pre-ordered that $200-something Fallout 76 pre-order bundle, right? Because he has confidence that a company like Bethesda, with a very strong track record, especially in the Fallout IP, has always delivered. Even though it's a relatively unknown genre that Fallout 76 is going into, it's not the normal Fallout game that people expect. That being said, pre-order has its place in gaming because it caters to those that want to support early on, whether or not that pre-order actually goes towards future development of the title, or if it's just going in as, you know, just tags as a regular sale and it's giving a gamer or a consumer the opportunity to get it, you know, day one, regardless of whether it's on Amazon or wherever. It has its place. I'm like you. I think I'm past the point of needing the video game collectible. As I look back at my wall of collectible stuff, that being said, I still think it has its place simply because at the end of the day, it's the choice of the consumer to actually do this. There's no requirement that forces one And I think the digital marketplace helps supplement that, because if you want to get it on day one and play at, you know, on Wednesday 12:01, fantastic. Or do you want to wait until the next day? Hopefully GameStop's got it. You know, pick up a physical or just download it. And when you're ready to play, just play. So it has its place. It's maybe less, you know, maybe has less of a quote unquote market share on requirements and stuff like that. But It has its place. It, at the end of the day, it's consumer choice. And as long as everyone has that choice and the ability to make that decision on their own, and it's not forced upon anybody, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, agreed. Completely agree. I mean, so Seti, thank you for sending us that question via moot, not mute, moot.
I laugh US. Every time I hear it.
Yeah, I know, it's hilarious. And just thank everyone else that have sent in questions, and hope you guys enjoy your $50 Amazon gift card. Seti, we will get in contact with you on the back end and enjoy. So before we get out of here, one last thing. And I wanted to purposely save this to the end. Shout out to our brother, Khalif Adams, yes, over at Spawn On Me. No Man's Sky Next finally launched this week, and they put out that update. And I have not personally jumped in and played, but I've just been watching the reactions online, and people just seem to absolutely love what they've done with this update. Just being able to explore together now with friends, and just all the hijinks that go on with that, space battles, just all the amazing photos that are screenshots, photos that are coming out of this game now. It's sounding like, and again, you know, we joke about like Xbox, oh, now Xbox, and this is what Xbox should have been. It sounds like this is what No Man's Sky should have been at launch. I'm very happy to see the positive buzz that is happening with it. Hopefully that word of mouth will translate to more people picking it up. Like myself, I need to go pick it up and play it and try it out. And hopefully, you know, now that is it Hello Games.
Yep.
Hello Games.
That's
right?
Correct.
Hello Games. Yeah. I'm old. I'm getting old. I always second guess myself now, but,
hello,
but yeah, I know. Hello. Hello. Am I hearing voices? But that Hello Games has gotten back to that original vision that we saw on, if you remember this, this was, you know, it's called the Game Awards now. I forget what it was called back then, but when it was Jeff Keighley and Joel McHale on that live stream, and Joel McHale was being the biggest a-hole possible, like why they hired him, I don't know, because all he did was talk crap about gamers the entire time. But that was when we originally heard about No Man's Sky, and that was... Ooh, how long ago was that? Was that 2013?
Four or five years ago, at least.
Yeah, something like that. It was a while ago, but here we are now. So I'm definitely planning to pick it up. My instinct says to pick it up on PC, but I think a lot of people already have it on PS4, and I've seen a lot of people on PS4. So I think, plus I can probably find it on a big discount, I think I'm going to wind up getting it on PS4. And I'm going to check it out here in the next couple weeks. So... your thoughts on this? Excited for it?
I sent the message off to Khalif in our group chat yesterday, asking if he was going to bring up if he was going to revive All Man's Sky, which was a site that was going to be dedicated to showcasing the artistic abilities of gamers playing No Man's Sky. I thought it was a fantastic idea, concept. And unfortunately, No Man's Sky 1.0, you know, went the way of the dodo for a long time. You know, with, you know, rumors of No Man's Sky and Hello Games shutting down and closing its doors, when in actuality, they just said, you know what, we effed up massively and we're going to just close ourselves off to the world and try to fix and do good by Hello Games. From all intents and purposes, it looks like it may have done that. I've been watching my friend Matt on Twitch play all week long. And I've been hovering over the buy button because it's like it's not just the thing that has always kept me away from those space exploration games has always been that it's a single player experience. And yeah, sometimes those are fun because you're sitting there, put your headphones on and you just disappear into the world of space exploration X. Right. But this you can do co-op and there's multiplayer and there it's more than just you and your spaceship collecting gear or collecting, you know, rock fragments on planet, you know, X. It's almost like that Houston football game back like 20 years ago where that I think it was Denver versus the Oilers or something like that. And Denver like came back in the fourth quarter, John Elway, greatest comeback ever. But it was a surprise that they did it. I know, the fact that it's got me hovering a week later or like 3 or 4 days after the launch is a good and a bad thing. Why hasn't it forced me to hit go? I don't know. Maybe that's just my internal clock saying, no, it's not a shooter, but it, and maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to buy that just to break myself out of the only do shooters games, right? Maybe have a No Man's Sky on a Friday night stream or something like that. Play with the community. We'll see. I still think the jury is out for myself personally on whether I get it or not. I think I might need to just do a coin flip later on today and just make that decision final. But I'm glad this shows that just because at launch a game isn't what everybody else expected doesn't mean that it can't have the revival. It's almost like 2018 is the year of the revival with you know, like 1.8 for the division, No Man's Sky next. Now with the next great video game comeback, what's the next title to do this? Is it going to be Arkham Asylum, that last Batman game? Does that make it back? Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
What's the next largest flop that has the potential for coming back from from the grave? I can't think of one.
I'm sure there's some snarky people right now that are going, Destiny 2. It's a good question. I don't know, but it does bring hope that just because a game has a bad first impression, that if a development studio and a publisher has the patience and can provide the resources, it can be fixed. You know, you can go back and fix a game. The only worry with that is we're very finicky bunch and we tend to move on and we don't revisit things. I'm hopeful that No Man's Sky is exception to that rule, but typically we don't go back. We just keep pushing forward. So we'll see. We'll see what the reception is. Like I said, early on, it's been very positive, but let's see if that translates to actual sales of the game now. You know?
Yep.
All right. We'll see. So like I said, this was going to be a short show. Like I said, there's just not like it's the dead months. I mean, we're about to hit a couple more weeks and then we're going to start seeing, you know, people start reviews are going to start coming out some of these holiday games. Like I said, Spider-Man is only 5 weeks away at this point, something like that. So it's coming. It's getting real close. But any last thing before we get out of here, Pete?
Esports. Just, I want to briefly gloss over this. I know the PGI, the PUBG Global Invitational, is going on now. We had the Overwatch League finals going on this week as well. Is it here? Has it finally broken through? And is it like a viable consumer sports event in the like on TV and stuff like that? Because I know like the OWL was on ESPN, ABC. It's gotten all this publicity. You know, PGI has been all over Twitch and everywhere else. Is it finally, I mean, there's talk of esports going into the Olympics, which I'm still like, is it really an Olympic sport? It's crazy. It's crazy to think that I mean gaming in general, that our tournaments have transcended the back room lands and stuff like that, and it's actually something that we can all watch and enjoy, whether it's on our mobile devices, on, you know, our big screens, our TVs in the living room, at sports bars. They're actual things. I love it. I think it's fantastic, and I'm curious how supportive you are of the whole esports thing. I mean, hell, we haven't even touched like the Dotas, the StarCrafts, and like League of Legends. I'm just curious, you know, on your opinion on it.
Oh no, I'm not going to say I'm a huge fan. Like I watch them all every week or anything. Ironically enough, I'm literally watching the PUBG Invitational right now on Twitter.
Yep.
That PUBG's official has it on Twitter streaming live.
Yep.
But and I'm looking at the viewers. There are 9,000 people watching on Twitter right now. Interesting. Like I've said in the past, I've gone to some of the Call of Duty World Championship things, and I just remember the first time I went, and I just, the people that were there and how into it they were, and just, I mean, it was like I went to a rock concert or something. It was amazing. And even Danny and I, when we went a couple years ago together, one out here in LA, just, and that was at the old Forum, you know, in Inglewood, and it was packed to the gills with people and just listening to the conversations that were going on. And obviously Danny's gone to a few more and he's talked about it on the show as well. It is not a small time thing anymore. It is a big deal. It was funny. I was over at my neighbor's yesterday. We were having a pool party and his two sons were playing Rainbow Six Siege. And I didn't say anything. They brought it up about the big Rainbow Six esports events and how they would love to go to one.
Six Invitational.
You know? Yeah, it's a real thing. Like I said, ESPN is doing it. I know TBS is doing some stuff with it, you know, because Rick Fox, Shaq, they're all hugely invested into it. It is a big deal now. It just is. And like I said, I'm literally, as I'm talking, watching the PUBG thing go right now, and I am intrigued.
Yeah.
I almost feel like, I want to keep watching it.
Well, it's crazy. OMG, which is the China team, took three victories yesterday. They slaughtered everybody in the first person perspective version. It's funny because the PGA has actually had two different events. It's the third person perspective and first person perspective. You mentioned Rick Fox earlier. You know, when we went to the League of Legends spring finals here in Miami Beach, he's the owner of Echo Fox. Hell, this past week, Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala from the Golden State Warriors, their investment team, because they've got a venture capital group, they invested $37 million into TSM. Team Solo Mid, $37 million to help fund their venture. And actually what they're doing is they're building out a compound. It's not like having like the house right now. It's a whole compound devoted to training, you know, the actual game itself, you know, and then, you know, management leadership classes and stuff like that. It's amazing how large esports in general has gone now to see, you know, groups like Steph Curry's group, you know, dropping $37 million in venture capital to help support and fund an initiative like Team Solo Mids. And then seeing others like Team Liquid, who I think they just won Game 5 or Round 5 of the first person perspective thing. It's huge. It's fantastic. And I love it. I love it. I can't wait to see more.
Yeah, great. I'm with you on that. It is definitely a big thing that's going on right now. And I think if you're on the fence and you're curious, just watch one. See what you think. Maybe it'll convince you and you'll watch some more. But I think that's it for this week. Danny, please remind everyone where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. And Pete, once again, thank you. I know we said short show and I think we still went about 45 minutes. So that's good. And so this has been episode 781 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete. And Danny, Pete, actually, I will not be on the Thursday show because I will be in Las Vegas for a work thing. But next Sunday, the band should all be back together. And I'm sure we'll be what ifs and fours and all this other stuff will be going on as well. And Pete and I will be in the background rolling our eyes. But until then, this is episode 781 of Gamertag Radio. And we will see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.